God, we thank you that the church was never about a building, but it was God's holy people being transformed into your likeness and going out to the far-flung corners of the earth. God, I'm reminded this week in Psalm 67, where the psalmist says and prays the nations would be glad and people would sing for joy. And God, I'm convinced today that today in this church, as we are gathered together in different homes, in families, with friends, that you are pleased with our worship, God. And God, I'm reminded of the fact, as I said, that the church is not confined to a building, but we are to be out in the world, shining so brightly for Jesus. Lord, we pray for this church in this time to do just that. And Lord, we also pray for our leaders, government leaders. We pray for doctors. We pray for other medical professionals, Lord, that would help us find a cure to this virus, Lord Jesus. Lord, we know that this is not a comfortable time for us. Some are panicking in fear, and some are really maybe a bit insensitive to what is happening. But the fact is, Lord, people have died, and there's significant grief and loss in that. And so, Lord, I pray for us as a church that we would be sensitive to people's needs. We would seek to reach out in some creative ways to people to bring your hope to this world. Lord, as we come together now in your word, Lord, I pray that this wouldn't just be entertainment as we're just watching something on TV, but Lord, we would seek to hear your voice, and you would cause your church to rise up and be strong and to leave our homes and to share your word and your hope and love with others. I pray this in your powerful name. Amen. Well, good morning, church. I too want to welcome you to the Free Methodist Church. As Pastor Mac said, we are a church that worships God, loves people, and makes disciples. My name is Pastor Ryan, just in case you don't know me and you're tuning in online for the very first time. I just want to say this right off the bat that I love this church. And I love you. And I know that this has been a very, very stressful time for some of you. Some of you are confined to your homes. If you are, please call us. We want to be of some help and service to you. If you are struggling with your kids at home, moms and dads, this is a really difficult time. If you're struggling with kids, call us. We want to give you ideas in how you can talk to your kids. We want to give you ideas in how you can minister to your kids through this really difficult time. I just want to say again, I love you, and I know that for some of us, this has even affected us financially. I want you to know that I'm praying for you, church. As Pastor Mac said, this is not our normal setup. This feels really strange for me to be talking into this camera. But you know, one thing that I keep in mind as I'm talking into this camera, I'm keeping in mind my church. I'm envisioning your faces as I'm speaking today. You know, some of you have your own territory in church. You know who you are. You know where you sit. And so that makes it real easy for me to look into this camera and envision where you're sitting this morning. I just want to communicate my deep love for you. You know, I think what we're learning in this time is that, you know, this time, and also in the first century church didn't have Facebook, they didn't have websites, they didn't have TV, but guess what? The church grew in a dramatic way, and people came to know Jesus Christ. And I believe the same thing is going to happen through this church and actually around the world. Though our government and though our county is having to cancel some things out of love for others, there's some things that they cannot cancel. They cannot cancel the church. They can't cancel the word of God. They can't cancel relationships, and they cannot cancel the love of God. Nothing can stop the kingdom of God from advancing. Do you believe that, church? If you do, say amen. is really silent in here. So just say amen in the chat box or something. Hey, I want to follow up from where I was last week just for a minute. I left off in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. And I read this verse this last week, and it was too good not to share it with you. It comes from Eugene Peterson's The Message. It says this, church, and I want to encourage you in this way. It says, let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. Amen, church? So let's continue to be inventive in how we are loving one another and how we're getting together on a day like this, even though you're probably sitting 6 feet apart from each other. So, for the last 3 weeks, we have been looking at the one another's in Scripture. You know, there's about 59 one another's in Scripture. We started in week one with love one another. And Jesus said, love one another. I have a new commandment to give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. You know, I said 3 weeks ago that this commandment wasn't new, like it didn't already exist before. It did. The people knew. In Deuteronomy, God's word said to love God and love others. But what Jesus was talking about, the new part of it, was our love will be the primary way in which the world will know that we are disciples or followers of Jesus. By our love for one another, how we treat one another in the church, how we serve one another, how we live in harmony with one another. Wow, what a big calling, what a high responsibility. But something I remember, I don't have to bear that weight alone, because God's love originates from God. 1 John 4:19 tells us that God is love, and God's love comes straight from him. And so my role in that is what John 15:5 outlines, is staying connected to the vine. So I want to encourage you in this. You don't have to bear the weight alone in the one another statements. This morning, we're going to look at Ephesians 4:19. As Pastor Max said, hey, just bear with us. Just bear with us. I feel like we need to bear with a lot of people. Have you ever said that to your children? Moms and dads, you probably said it sometime this last week. Hey, just bear with us. This is a really hard time. Just bear with us. And the key verse that we're kind of looking at this morning is that maybe I even want you to memorize this morning is be completely humble. Comes from verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Here's the thing, friends. We can either bear with one another in love, or we can be a barrier to someone experiencing God's love. We can either bear with one another in love, or we can be a barrier to people experiencing God's love. So let's read God's word together. I'm reading out of the NIV. You'll see the scripture on the screen. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. It reads like this. This is from Paul to the church at Ephesus. He says, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Remember that. He's over all and he's in all. Amen, church. You know, Paul has just spent the last three chapters in Ephesians telling the church about who they are in Christ, their position in Christ. He's telling them all what God has accomplished for them. How many of you have had your child ask you to tell them a story. They said, "Hey, Daddy, hey, Mom, hey, Grandpa, hey, Grandma, hey, would you tell me a story, and would you put my name in the story?" That's actually what Paul is doing here. He's saying, this is who you are, church. This is what Christ has accomplished. This is who you are. You are a redeemed, rescued people. God cherishes you. You are loved. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, he says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." You who were once separated by sin have been brought near to Christ. He has rescued you. He has redeemed you. And so Paul is now saying, in the light of everything that Christ has done for you, in the light of all of that, in view of all of that, this is how you should walk. This is how you should live. This is how you should follow Christ. And then he spends the next several chapters telling the church just how to do that. And I want to talk about some ways and how we can do that. And our key verse that I want you to memorize is verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. Hey, let's start at verse 1. It says, "As a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." You know, these words for the followers of Jesus, when Paul spoke them, must have really touched their hearts. You know, Paul was writing this from jail, not because he was a criminal, but because he was a person who was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was put in jail because of his faith in Christ. And some of them might have even been led to the Lord by Paul. He ministered to some of them. And so when they heard these words, they had a certain love, perhaps, for them. I mean, how many of you can remember the person who led you to the Lord? Or some of you have had mentors in your life or people who have discipled you. You probably have a certain love towards them. There are certain emotions that rise up in you when you get to spend time with them or when you read a letter from them, words that they have written. And that's what is probably happening here. They have great love. In fact, many of you in this church, I love you. And so when I get to see you, when I get to hear you, when I think of you, I have this great love towards you. And this is what Paul is doing. He's saying, I urge you. I plead with you, he says. I beg of you to live this life worthy of your calling. I don't think for one moment that he is lording his authority over them. I think really what he is saying is, church, I encourage you. I'm encouraging you right now. Because church, I understand. I understand that these are really difficult times. I mean, Paul understands he's in jail. And he understands that these are difficult times for the church. Did you know for that these Christians in Ephesus, there was a lot of pressure on the church. There were some outside forces that were trying to make the church conform to different laws. And I know some of you are greatly worried about that right now in our world today. There were not only these outside forces that were trying to make them conform to these laws, but there was something else at work. And Paul calls them demonic forces, actually spiritual forces. He talks about that in Ephesians chapter 6. Maybe you could read that this week. And he talks about how to stand up against those spiritual forces. And so this is where he's coming from, this heart of encouragement. Because of what is going on right now, this is how I want you to walk. This is how I want you to walk, church. Because this will be the way for the world to know that there is a God, for the world to know that there is a Savior. And so he says, live worthy of the calling you have received, or walk worthy of the calling you have received. Church, when we hear this word to live worthy of your calling, this word calling, we might think of a job, like where we're called to a job or some kind of vocation. I'm called to being a doctor. I'm called to being a nurse or something like that. Hey, pray for our doctors and nurses at this time, will you? They're overwhelmed. But this isn't what Paul's talking about. He's talking about being called. Since God called you and adopted you into his family, you have become a child of God. You become his son or daughter. And so he's called you. He's redeemed you by his blood. And so he says, live a life worthy of that calling as his son and daughter. Now, what does this mean, worthy? I don't want you to think for one moment that we have to walk in a way towards God to earn his love. You can't do it. I know many of us have tried to do it, but you can't do it. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, Paul says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So you can't earn it. You can't buy your salvation. You can't earn God's love. He loves you for who you are right now. And so he says, walk worthy. This word worthy has this idea of actually a scale. You know, the scale that has the two sides, like a balance. I'm not even too sure what that scale is called, but on this side is God. And this side is piled up high with everything that God has done for you and accomplished for you. His great love towards you. His enduring love towards you. And on this side is you. And guess what? You will never be able to balance those scales. You will never be able to outdo the love of God. But he says, walk worthy. Worthy walking is telling the truth about who God is. As his son or daughter, worthy walking is about growing in the fruit of the Spirit. Worthy walking is about relying on him for your strength to live. Worthy walking is telling the world about this gracious God. Worthy walking is giving thanks to God in all circumstances. That's what worthy walking is all about. Friends, listen, I want you to be sure we don't walk like that to earn God's love, but rather we walk worthy like that because that is our response towards God's love. Today, wherever you're at, if you're with friends or family, perhaps you can make a new commitment today with each other in this small group to say, you know what? God has given us our walking orders. God has given us our marching orders to walk worthy. To grow, to be connected to him as the vine. Make that commitment today, church. Would you do it? Because Jesus says in John 17, when he prays for the church, then they will know that you are my disciples. The second thing I want to talk about this morning is to live bearing with one another instead of being a barrier to God's love, right? Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. These words are astounding, church. Now, Paul's in prison. How could he say this? He's in prison. And perhaps some of you are saying, you don't get this. You want me to be humble. You want me to be patient. You want me to be gentle. I am desperate. We are in a desperate situation here. And he's saying, yes, I want you first to practice humility. You know, humility is something that we talk about all the time in church, and we see humility in the life of Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul says this of Jesus, in being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you're challenged to be humble, to live in a way not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to. But for the people reading this, humility was kind of a foreign subject to them. They didn't really have the same word in their own language. And if they did, it wasn't the same understanding. It meant something like failure or shame. And so this humility was a foreign concept. And you know what I began to think about is it's actually a foreign concept to us as well. Because in difficult situations, what begins to rise up in us? Fear begins to rise up. Lack of control begins to rise up. And you know what rises up in my heart in those kinds of situations? Pride. The opposite of humility. And he says, this is the way I want you to walk. I want you to walk in humility, because then the world will know who Jesus is. Relationships, friends, they take humility. I think you know that in a marriage. It takes humility. In friendships, it takes humility. In fact, if your marriage is struggling right now, perhaps you just need to come before God and say, God, would you help me to be humble? Moms and dads, guess what? We're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. Perhaps you can practice a new humility with your children and just say, you know what? I was actually wrong about that. Will you forgive me? Hey, children, I want to talk to you as well this morning. You're not perfect either. Perhaps you can also practice that at times too, when God has let you know that you were wrong. You can come to mom and dad as well and say, I was wrong. And that's a way of practicing humility. Humility is central to who Jesus is. It's central to the servant, to the follower, to the way of Jesus. And we see this in Scripture. We see this attitude of humility in the life of Zacchaeus. You know, I learned a song when I was little about Zacchaeus, this wee little man who climbed up in this sycamore tree. And as Jesus was passing by that day, Jesus looked up in the tree and he saw Zacchaeus. He said, hey, Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your house today. Zacchaeus was this tax collector who was known for cheating people. And Jesus goes to Zacchaeus' house, and we're not privileged to the whole conversation. We don't know exactly what Jesus said there. But whatever he said there, it caused Zacchaeus to practice, to display this humility. He said, Lord, look. I imagine him like standing up from a table and saying, okay, Lord, look, here and now, he says, I give half my possessions to the poor. And he says, if I've cheated anyone, I will give back four times the amount. And Jesus looks at him, I'm convinced, with a tender heart. And he says, today, salvation has come to this house. Friends, practice humility. Be completely humble in your relationships. The second thing he talks about here is this word gentle. In some translations, it says meekness. Now, I have to admit, for a guy, and maybe many men watching this, we don't like to be gentle, or we think of being gentle or meek. It's just being meek. But that's not what this word reads. This word means, rather. It means actually strength under control. It was used of an animal that was tame. Like, you could have this strong horse and you can tame it, but does that mean just because it's tame, it's lost its strength? No, it's probably even stronger. It's strength under control. And so practice this gentleness and meekness, and you'll be even stronger than you think. And church, I'm convinced that the church needs meek men, needs gentle men. We need gentle, meek men to rise up in the church to teach our children. I think there's a lack of that today. Meekness is not a resignation to fate or a passive and reluctant submission to events. No, it's a person just totally under control, under God's control. And so perhaps you too can make a commitment today to say, you know what, I am going to be guided by God. And if he can rescue me, He can transform me into being this person who is strong, but under the control of God. Another attitude that he talks about here, a way to walk worthy, a way to bear with one another in love, is patience. Wow. This word also means long-suffering. It means the ability to wait, the ability to endure, the ability when your temper starts to flare up, to not get out of control, to not let it get out of control, but to control that. Friends, I don't know how long we are going to be in this youth room where this air hockey table usually stands, but I know that I'm asking God in this situation to say, God, would you develop within me this heart that is long-suffering and patient? This is what God desires of us, church. This is what he desires. And then he goes on, which brings me to this key verse. He says, bear with one another in love. I love this word, bear. It's this word that has this very rich meaning. It actually means to hold up or to prop up. It means to not let somebody fall. Friends, it's so easy to hold others up, isn't it? When times are going well, during the exciting times of life, the joyous times of life, it's so easy to bear with one another in love. But I know it's also difficult to bear with one another when we feel lied to, when we feel manipulated, when we feel cheated by someone. That's really, really hard. I know it's hard to bear with one another in love when we're just trying to go to the grocery store to buy some everyday commodities like toilet paper. It's really hard to bear with one another in love. It's hard. It's hard. You know, I think a person who really understood how to bear with one another in love is Peter. Because he had this great love that was shown to him. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, hey, above everything else, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. I'm convinced that Peter was able to say that, because he experienced this deep love of God even after he denied Jesus. Proverbs 10, chapter 12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. And Paul says, this is who we are to be, church. We are to bear with one another instead of being barriers to one another. We're barriers to people when we are judgmental. We're barriers to one another when we become hypocritical. We're barriers to one another when we don't really seek to listen to people. We're barriers to one another when we are close-minded to people and their needs. And so he's challenging us, church. He's challenging us, church, to be this church, this people of God, who prop people up, who hold people up, especially in times of difficulty. Proverbs 17:17, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, says, a friend loves at all time, and a brother is born for times of adversity. Hey, friends, church, now is the time to prop up people around us. Now is the time to hold people up. And he says to bear with one another in love. See, hey, we don't get another take at this. We don't get another take at life. We're going to make mistakes, aren't we? But he says to bear with one another in love. There's different kinds of definitions of love in Scripture, but the love here is talking about agape love. This agape love is to love without expecting anything in return. It's this kind of love that says, I'm going to love even when I'm not loved back. It's this kind of love that loves with no strings attached. And he says, this is how we are to love. Hold people up, even when they may not give you anything in return. And Jesus says in John 17, then the world will know that you are my disciples. Friends, the third and final thing this morning is this. From verses 3 through 6, it says, live in unity of the Spirit. Verse 3, it says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This is the way, he says, be eager to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Let God's Spirit lead you to keep the unity. Notice something here, friends. I noticed something here. Paul didn't say that you have to create the unity. I think that's really important for us to understand. He just says we have to maintain it. He just says we have to be eager to maintain it. Be eager not to damage the unity. You see, because the unity is already there. And the unity comes from this, verses 4 through 6. Notice how many times, count with me, church, how many times Paul uses the word one. Ready? Here we go. Count on your fingers. Ready? Here we go. There is one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. That's where our unity lies. It's in the one. Live in unity. Maintain that unity in the one God. I think it's really important to say again that unity does not mean uniformity. We don't all have to walk around wearing the same clothes, or we don't all have to like the same things, or wear the same shoes, or have the same hairdo, or whatever it is that you like. We can have different opinions. But here's the thing, friends. When you come to know Jesus Christ, he sets you in this amazing family. When you receive God's salvation, he sets you in this family. And something amazing, friends, something supernatural happens when we join this family and when we're in this family under one Lord. We can do amazing things. And we saw the church doing it in the book of Acts. And we can do the same thing as we are eager to maintain that unity. You know, living in unity doesn't also means this. You know, we can sing the same song, but we can sing different notes. And when that happens, for some of us that kind of know how to do this, it creates this beautiful harmony. It creates this sweet, sweet song. The Bible, I think, describes that as a sweet fragrance. And people will know that we are his disciples. I want to close with this, friends. I want to invite Pastor Mac to come forward. He has no idea what's happening right now. Why don't you step on over here? You know, friends, many of you are watching. Hey, come on closer here. Many of you watching, I know, have been hurt by the church at some point in your life. Maybe you've experienced the church not bearing with you in love. They've been judgmental. And I just want to say I'm sorry for that. I pray that you would give the church another chance. I pray that you would do that. You know, a lot of times in the church, we say we'll bear with one another, and we treat bearing with one another kind of like this. Mac, have you ever heard of the trust fall?
Yes.
Okay. And this is kind of what happens in the church. Mac, I want you to turn this way. And, you know, we say to the church, hey, you know what? You know what? I love you. I'm going to try to be there for you. But you know what? We're not perfect. And so sometimes you may fall. Now, if I say fall back, are you going to trust me to carry, to hold you up, to catch you, even when you've heard me say, but I might let you fall? Would you be so eager to fall into my arms?
No.
Probably not. And you know, friends, we do that sometimes in the church, and when someone falls, perhaps a prominent pastor falls, and we learn about it in the media, then we gossip about it. But you know, this idea of bearing with one another doesn't simply mean to catch them when they fall back. You know what it means, friends? It means to hold up. It means to prop up. And so if Mac takes a step back, guess what? I'm going to be right there. Hey, Mac, take a step back. I'm going to be right there, and I'm going to prop him up. I'm going to hold him up, and I'm going to say, I'm not going to even let you take a step back. I'm going to say, Mac, I want you to run this race for Christ with everything that you have, with Christ being your helper. And when you even try to take a step back, I'm going to hold you up. I'm going to prop you up. You know, one of my good friends uses the word to buoy someone up. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about. And so when our brothers and sisters begin to fall back a little or take a step back, the church is going to be here. And we're not going to let them fall. We're going to hold them, and we're going to prop them up. Friends, that's my challenge to you today. That's my challenge. Will you look around today? Maybe it's someone in the room that you're sitting in. And will you seek to prop them up and to buoy them up in the love of God? Amen. I want to close with this, church. It comes from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. And this is how I want to send you out today. It says this: now to him who is able to be immeasurably, to do immeasurably more than we all can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Hey, before you go, we have some discussion questions. I think they're posted on our website, or they're posted in this platform that you're viewing this sermon on today. And before you leave the house that you're in, hey, spend some time discussing with one another these questions. And may the peace of God be with you. And just know that he is the one who gives you strength to buoy others up. Amen. I love you, church. We'll see you throughout the week and next Sunday online. Amen. Have a great day.